Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I guess because it's like, Noah, you probably remember the like National Enquirer, like the dime store magazines that were like Hillary Clinton gives birth to alien, or you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. I regularly subscribed National Enquirer, News of the World.
News of the World was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely like I needed to know what Hillary Clinton's Grinch baby looked like.
Yes, and so whenever TMZ like drops something, I'm like, man, you guys are missing out. Like, you have a whole other, the world is insanely stupid. Like, people will believe anything. So you could definitely like piece together some sources and have like a real life, use AI if you want. Like, Hillary Clinton gives birth to, you know, alien with three tits, and people like the solar eclipse thing that just happened was like a solid reminder that I get every couple weeks that like people have completely lost their minds. Like, just,
oh, totally.
They're like, I was talking with Thomas about this earlier, like the other episode, but it, like, when people were like, oh, the satellites that NASA's launching, they're evil. They're like evil satellites for like to get your soul. And I was like, oh, okay, these people have schizophrenia. And then I looked up the name of the satellite, and it was like Alpep. It was like the Egyptian god of evil and darkness, and like Ra's like ultimate enemy. And I was like, okay, they're fucking with people. Like, they're doing this on purpose. Like, some guy that works at NASA that, like, you could have named those satellites literally anything. But you were like,
I mean, I kind of believe that. Also, like that to me is in the same vein as, like, when Saudi Arabia posted, like, a 9/11 meme.
Yes.
I think on 9/11. And they were like, ha ha, we could do it again. Yeah, ha ha.
Which I thought.
It's like, they're laughing at us. They're laughing at us.
So awesome to be like, best case scenario, we did this. Worst case scenario, you guys did it, kind of. Or, but best case scenario, we did it, and you guys haven't. We do business together. we are close buds, close pals, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I've come back around to. I've decided I believe it was an accident.
just like a whoopsie daisy.
I think that's my favorite explanation for it now, is that they just like were bad at flying and they had to make up a whole thing about it. You know what I mean? back in the day when you could just be, you know, an eight ball deep behind the wheel, one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think if 9/11 happened again, I'd be pissed off about it, because that should never happen twice.
I mean, it was, I still remember that, like, you know, because I was a kid, and what I remember more than anything was that, like, I was at school got let out early, mm-hmm. or I don't even know if they did that even, but, like, I remember, you know, neighbors came over, whatever, parents were, like, getting home from work, and I remember saying, like, damn, just think of all those stores that they're gone now. I was so cut up as like a six or so, or like, or no, I guess like an eight year old about like how, you know, how there would be no more WB store for me to go buy Superman stuff at.
My mom picked me up from school. I was seven, and she was one of those people. We lived in a small ish suburb of Houston called Pasadena. There ain't fuck out there,
yeah.
Except like Gilly's Barbecue, and like a half-ass rodeo, and like a bunch of fucking Valero gas stations. And she's on the way home, and she's like, they're gonna start bombing everywhere. They're gonna come. I'm really worried they're gonna come here, because we have a lot of the oil plants. And I was like, even at seven, I was like, Mom, they're not bombing the Applebee's like off 225 and 610. Like, it's not like, but again, like, everybody in that small town, like, when I went to church, like, the next week, they did this big thing, and it was like, you never know who's next. It could be anybody, any town. And that collective mentality, I think, seeped into everyone's head to the point where people were legitimately like, we've got out here in Frog Balls, Arkansas, we're probably next. You know, we got a lot of really culturally and politically important things out here in the sticks or whatever.
I mean, I just like how it's, you know, the very obvious thing of like, oh, like, these people probably think that like New York is like the center of all evil. That it's like a, you know, it's like a giant demon portal.
Yeah.
And they can't hit our demon portal.
Yeah, yeah.
That's our demon portal. They can't do that.
Yeah. That all yeah, suddenly
which I understand. I empathize with.
Were you living in New York when that happened or?
No, I mean, well, like in a like my where the town I grew up in Jersey is like 10 15 miles from Manhattan. So when, like, the towers would, you know, like, for weeks after, I remember, like, when we would go home from synagogue on Friday nights, there's, like, a lookout point where there's now a huge monument to 9/11.
You guys were dancing. You guys were having a... You guys were dancing, right?
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, having a cookout, yeah. It was... I mean, it was, like, it was just like, oh, wow, that's a lot of smoke, a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, just the whole thing was very... like, I have memories to attach to it. Like, it's not just, like, a media spectacle. What is... absolutely a media spectacle or like what like kind of follows though is just like, oh, like then it was just a hole in the ground for like a fucking decade plus.
Yeah.
And until they could figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it was like a whole mess. So I don't know. My main experience of 9/11, I guess, just based on what I've been saying, is not like the political upheaval. It's not the wars we did. It's about the stores we lost and then yeah. the smoke. And then like there was that big they had that big hole in the ground for a while. Mm-hmm. And they called it Ground Zero too. And at the time I thought like, oh, that's just what that is called. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that was a phrase that they used to describe many things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, I guess you could say I have a very New York centered outlook on things.
Yeah. I remember seeing it on TV. And at the time, I actually thought Unk was cooking out. And then I got the phone call about it, and I realized that it was sad because I actually found out one of my favorite big booty bitches died on that plane. And we were actually planning on building a monument, like just with a big-ass like marble booty on Ground Zero, and it would maybe have like some fans coming off it that would be like Torquemada fans, and it would basically like just smell like big ass booty on the whole Ground Zero, and they were gonna call it Pound Zero for all the bad bitches we would pound there. But it was like pretty much like a big ass tragedy. I do remember,
Thomas, you were telling me that the CIA, they actually changed his name. It was Muhammad Attaboy. And then they took the boy out just to make it seem more Muslim. He was like a Nation of Islam.
Well, yeah, now would be Muhammad. Now's a girl, probably.
Jesus, fuck you.
And yeah, Muhammad, and it would have been flown into an even bigger shopping center, probably.
The when I went to New York, like 2011. It was like the 10-year. Thing. I was a teenager, and I went with a bunch of my friends from school when it was like a, kind of a school trip thing that like some kids like they got paid for or whatever. So we all went, and we went to the museum, right? And you know, there's like
the museum
and the 9/11 museum or whatever, and they were like this steel beam, they found it. In the shape of a cross.
That's a good thing to bring up because, like, as you know, as a known Jew, all that stuff. I always, it was like so, like all of the like you. I have so many memories as a kid, and 9/11 and 9/11 adjacent kind of events where you know where they're just like, and now we're gonna take a moment. To remember, you know, all those who are lost. And I'm like, yes, mm-hmm. we're going to remember, you know, their lives and the people in their lives who are now sad because their loved ones are gone. I'm like, yes, I'm with it. And then we're going to remember Lord Jesus Christ yes. who died for all their sins.
Yes.
And it's like, hold the fort. Hold on. Hold a moment. I didn't agree to that.
Well,
I don't know about that one.
The fucking.
And that's just like water down where you guys are. Like my mom grew up in the South. And she sang like Christian songs growing up, and I was like, "Wow, that must be a thing that they don't do anymore because we live in a normal world now."
No,
but then I learned that the South is still the South.
Dude, we would like okay. I think I've talked about this on the show, but like, In 2004, when John Kerry was running against George Bush, we had a mock election. I was in fifth grade, okay? They were picking students to be, and they had these big, like, jib-jab-style bobblehead masks from the Halloween store of John Kerry and of George Bush. And I got picked to be John Kerry. And we would do these, like, little mock debates in class or whatever, and I would put on the mask.
Ah, yes, an origin story. Yes.
Dude, adult parents started treating me different. This is South. some of the teachers would be like, would literally be like, they picked me. They'd be like, you read Hatchet a little too slow this week. And I'd be like, what? Yeah, I don't know. I was just kind of distracted. Like, I was treated just a little bit differently because I was liberal John Kerry pretending to be like 4'10" me.
Dude, people will never, like, Zoomers will never know the joys of getting, like, eyeballed by, like, the school secretary because you got in an argument with her about Terri Schiavo. Like,
yeah.
I've got, like, so many, like, very particular memories of being, like, a kid who knew, like a little too much about politics, so that, like meaning, like, enough to get into trouble.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, I would, for example, argue with the school staff about Terri Schiavo, and then argue with all the kids who's, like, I mean, at that time, I went to, like, a Jewish private school for, like, a year or two, and, like, it was a lot of people, had bad ideas about how the world should be at that school.
Tom,
and so it was even easier.
Thomas, did you guys, because at our church, we would do, like, they would do, like, potlucks after, like, I remember there was, like, that month, and then the rest of 2001, and then in 2002, they would do, like, drives and stuff, I guess, and they would donate the money to the families, but we would do these, like, parking lot, trunk or treat style, everybody brings food, and our church had this thing where it was, like, everybody wanted to make freedom fries, and all of the food became, like, it wasn't, like, pot roast. It was, like, 1776 beef. I know, Thomas, you were raised religious. I don't know if you guys did any, it, like, the intersection of like stupid Southern Baptist, like, theater and then just, like, American patriotism was, like, so cartoonish there for, like, a good 10 years after.
Oh, yeah, I remember. So I was barely alive for 9/11, but I remember, I do remember some of the political antics of the Southern Baptist Church. For example, one of my favorite ones, this church we went to for a while, the lead pastor just had this giant scroll that was, like, comedic, like, comically long. It was, like, 40 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the tally marks for every abortion in America. And it was, like, such a vague figure as to when these abortions happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he would undo the scroll, and it would go all the way down the church steps, like, into the aisle. And people would just start crying. And it would have, like, dramatic theme music, like, the lights would change. He'd be like, these all, he'd be like, 150 billion and 225 million and 372,005 babies were killed today. Let that sink in. And every single one of them, every single one of those abortions were performed by the devil. And I, folks, this is not a political sermon.
And the devil, his practice is two counties over.
Yeah.
His office hours, he's usually there between 9:30 a.m. And 11 a.m. And then he takes a long lunch, and then he's back at 2. And then he's at, the devil's back at it.
The devil is a Jewish doctor. He drives a Toyota Camry. His nurse is a Puerto Rican lady, I do believe.
His children. His oldest daughter goes to Vanderbilt. Yeah. His son goes to SMU. It's funny. I'm reminded. My brother. I have a half brother who's a decade and a half older than me, and he lives in New Orleans now, but he grew up in Jackson, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And he went and he played football for a Baptist school there.
Oh, shit.
And then he played football for a year at USM in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And, like, when he was in Christian high school, like, he went to private high school because I guess that's just what, like, white middle-class families did.
Yeah.
There, do there. Mm-hmm. And because he played football, you know, it was with, you know, I mean, at a Baptist high school, was in, like, as macho and Baptist an environment as it gets.
Right, right.
And the two stories, that are the two things that I remember him telling me about a lot. The first was, so his name is Nathan, and basically it was like 4 years of Save Nathan. Like every time, not every time, but like all the time when he was like alone in a car with somebody's parents, they would like start giving the talk about like, you know, like you could accept Jesus, it's not too late. Like it was all the time. Yeah. And he just learned to like brush it off because it's like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
Which I kind of admire. And then the second is that he told me about the concept of Christian sex.
Yeah.
And the idea of like of that it's actually not losing your virginity if you do it in the butt.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. That one was.
And that was like real. That was like a thing people like really believed and practiced on.
Yeah. The one thing that always struck me as odd is because I guess like I started watching porn like I guess earlier than, you know, most people do, and I was always like, oh, anal is like more, it's more evil than just normal ass fucking standard issue sex. And so when I would go to youth group, and then when you graduate from like, you go vacation Bible school, youth group, and then like this thing we had called Disciple Now, where a bunch of us teen boys would go to this grown man's apartment and he would tell us that if we jack off, we're gonna die. And anyway, somebody brought that up one time.
Wait, he's telling you this in his own home?
Yes. So we would go to his apartment. His name was Paul, and he was like early 30s. And it would start off pretty normal where we would read from like, you know, we'd read scripture, we'd read like the gospels and stuff, and then we would like he would do a little sermon, and then we'd do a prayer circle. And then like that was like 30 minutes. That was a foreplay. And then after, he would be like, okay. And he would try to give it like some gravitas, but we knew what was coming. He would like, okay, so there's this thing, right, that we struggle with, man. You understand what I'm saying, Jake? And I'd be like, no. Like, okay, so there's this thing that we have, this urge, right? And that urge, people will tell you. Science might tell you that it's biological, it's part of life, but what it is it's a spiritual death. And I would be like, he was like, I'm of course talking about masturbation. And we would all go like in his apartment. Dude, and he had like, this was 2007 or 8. He was like an early guy, got into all the Iron Man stuff and the Hulk stuff. So just like Marvel posters everywhere.
Oh, man.
And it was like he had like a poster, like, and the other posters were these of Christian bands, like Casting Crowns and like all the Christian rock bands.
Man, I'm so glad that my health teacher showed me how to jack off directly, like a normal kid. You know,
you got
like I'm happy I got a normal secular education.
Yeah.
Where my high school health teacher just like took us all one by one into the bathroom and showed us all individually how to masturbate.
He was like, "Hey, this is how you. This is science."
This is actually, yeah. And they gave me recommendations for porn. In fact, they encouraged me to have sex without a condom because it's cooler and it feels better.
Yeah,
you know, it was like a really good, normal, secular health education. That's what I got.
That's badass. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, we had back shots 101. We had how to go down on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
How to blow it out.
Yeah, how to blow it in. Yep. Yeah.
And all the girls had swallow class for swallowing jizz.
Yeah, the junior varsity was spitting. If you couldn't get up to swallowing, they'd just put you on JV.
It was funny. I remember the discipleship thing that you're talking about, Jake. And at our church that we went to whenever my older siblings were, I guess, high schoolers, they would try and – it was called Disciple Now, but to be trendy, they called it D Now.
Yep. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
All the girls and the guys, they'd go to you know, you go to somebody's house for a weekend for D now.
Yeah.
With just like 15 other dudes.
Uh-huh.
Thankfully, I was never graced with it. But I remember my parents hosted D now one time. And so my dad had built this like redneck zip line in the backyard. And I just remember I couldn't go down the zip line for like a whole weekend because it was like 20 dudes going down it constantly. It was a crazy cool zip line though. It was like,
what is it with Christians and zip lines? So my friend, Danny, his dad was a mega pastor or a pastor at a mega church in California. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like telling Danny, like, yeah, my dad's a rabbi, you know, like fucking, it's a big synagogue. Like, you know, there's like a couple thousand people in the building on Yom Kippur and on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You know, it's pretty cool. And Danny's like, yeah, that's like about what we had like every week. And my dad once took a zip line to the stage. Like, the fuck? Like, or the altar, whatever y'all call it. Yeah. Like, I was floored. Like, it's like, you guys got stunts, pyrotechnics. Like, Righteous Gemstones, I know, is, like, parody, but, like, only barely on that count.
It's not really. So there was this thing that we would go to. My church was a family church. My cousin was the pastor. And when they moved into a bigger building, he was a no-nonsense. He was a Calvinist. So he thought all that shit was goofy. He was like...
Oh, yeah.
He was literally...
Paul Schrader ass.
His sermons would be like, a lot of you in here are going to hell. And you come every Sunday, and you do everything you're supposed to do. But it ain't your decision to make, and it ain't never been. All right, amen. Happy Sunday, everybody. And that was just how he was.
Oh, yeah, Pastor Cormac McCarthy.
Yes,
thank you.
Yeah. Thank you,
I
Judge.
The maddest I've ever been in church was one time we sat through a whole speaking session from a 9/11 survivor on 9/11. Had nothing to do. He was barely a Christian. He just, at the end, he was like, and God... was there to help me. Thank you. And then collected his
And so I
check.
Was in there in the WB store, yeah. And I was thinking, it would be such a loss.
Yeah, so like...
it would be such a loss.
His big selling point was they had to cut his wedding finger off of... His wedding ring off his finger because his body was so melted. He did look fucked up. But then...
They did like Elephant Man at church.
Yeah,
that's
he
pretty
did look
cool.
Kind of fucked up, and then you find out he was at the Pentagon. He got like it was like the plane that like
he got hit with the missile, not the plane.
Yeah,
he got hit with the missile.
Yeah, so it's like, and I'm a kid. I'm like, that wasn't even part of 9/11. That didn't even fall down. This guy fucking. Basically got killed by, like, almost killed by a vending machine. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's not, you weren't part of the, that's like when somebody, I remember at school one time, we had a guy come who had no legs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a veteran. And then it later turns out, later in the speaking thing, he was like a demonstration skydiver for the military. Who never saw combat, and he lost his legs because he and another guy were doing a demonstration and crashed into each other, and the other guy got exploded, and the other guy exploded into this guy's legs. So the guy's legs got chopped off. The other guy just turned into mist. And this guy was acting like he was a hero. And we had to do a standing ovation for a guy who was a professional skydiver. And then he was like, and then my wife left me as soon as I lost my legs. She filed for divorce 2 weeks later. And he said that she told me the day you lost your legs, I stopped loving you. And everybody in the crowd went, aww. And then, dude, he showed a video of him, of the guy smashing into his legs and his legs getting blown off.
No, what?
Yeah, this is a middle school.
The fuck?
Yeah. So, and it shows, it's funny because it's at like a NASCAR race or something. So, you know, the beginning of the speaking engagement, everybody thinks
every new detail of this is crazy. So he wasn't like just doing it like for the army. He was at, they were at like a NASCAR race. Like he was like a Blue Angel.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Something like that.
But for skydive. That's
yeah. So it's like a big race or something. And it's like a video of somebody with their phone, like, so they can put it on Facebook or whatever. And it just shows a crash and everybody's like, oh no. Oh no. And like me and my friends are trying not to laugh because it's like, this guy is fucking stupid, man. This is a professional skydiver. That's a fake. That's like a mall kiosk.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's that time again. If you're tired of trying to decide what to eat all the time, and honestly, I always have a hard-ass time trying to figure out what to eat, and I hate spending hours cooking, I like to let Factor take the pressure off. They send chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals right to your door that are ready in just 2 minutes. Thomas, can you believe that shit?
I can't believe it.
But you better believe it, because it's true. Throw them in the microwave or heat them up in the skillet. It could not be easier. With dozens of healthy options to choose from each week, sticking to your health goals is super easy, too. Thomas, I know they sent you some of that yummy, yummy, delicious Factor food. Which one was your favorite?
Jake, I really enjoyed the chicken Alfredo pasta as well as a truffle mushroom pork chop. Those really tickled my fancy.
There was a really yummy one. I think it was the burger. That one looked really good.
Yes, it was a jalapeno popper burger. It really tantalized my taste buds.
I love getting my taste buds tantalized.
Yes, sir.
They also have some shots, too, right, you were saying?
Yeah, they have some sort of, wellness shots that I really enjoyed. Yeah, they had one that was sort of an apple cayenne type thing, and then they had a lemon. They had a one that had sort of a citrus taste as well that I really enjoyed, and I experienced. I enjoyed them, and that was good.
Yeah, and the cool thing about them is
little energy boost. That's what I was saying. Yeah,
they've got all sorts of stuff. One of the things I really like about Factor is they have gourmet meal options. Because look, ever since we started doing this show, I got a champagne taste, baby, and now we're making millions and millions of dollars. I can afford badass food, and Factor has it, and it's affordable. They've got gourmet meal options where you can get premium ingredients like filet mignon, what, shrimp, truffle butter, damn, and asparagus, yummy. They also have over 60 add-on items to choose from every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunches, snacks, and like Thomas said, beverages. Factor is also totally suited to your schedule, so you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time, which is super, super convenient, especially if you're trying to hit a bulk cycle, get in shape, or if you're just busy, don't want to cook your own food. Factor's got you covered. If you guys want to get in on this sweet, sweet deal, I've got some information for you. Head to factormeals.com/pendejo50 and use code pendejo50 to get 50% off. That's half off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code pendejo50 at factormeals.com/pendejo50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That is code PENDEJO50 at factormeals.com/pendejo50. Tasty, tasty. Thank you.
Good job. There, you know what I mean?
There was a guy. So when I first started doing like boxing and shit or whatever, I would go to the local MMA and like, you know, jiu-jitsu competitions in Houston. And like Houston's very own, he was like a superstar in like the local like combat sports scene. He was the OG Green Ranger. His name was Jason David Frank. And he was like a, you know, crazy pill head alcoholic before or whatever. And then he found God. But in a very, like, theatrical American Christian way. And the way that he would, like, he would go to schools and, like, you know, do his, like, I got out of the Power Rangers and we were just black tar shooting heroin. What else you gonna do? Where'd all that money go? Right in my veins. And then God saved me. He would roll up to schools in a lifted H3 green, neon green monster Hummer. And his t-shirt company was called Jesus Didn't Tap. And it was a huge, swole-ass Jesus on a cross flexing like this with, like, the 2x4 snapped. And it was, like, just his biceps and, like, his stigmata was, like faded because he had, like, healed himself or whatever. This dude, you would go to his fights and he would get just the shit beat out of him, dude. The floor. Like, he would do – and because of, I guess, his fame or whatever, like, being a Green Ranger, the Power Ranger, every time he would do, like, the pre-fight interview, he'd be like – yeah, you know, like, you do get a little bit of combat experience being a Power Ranger. Which is just, like, he's doing, like, spin kicks and, like, green leotards and fighting goop monsters and shit.
Okay, so hold on. So for a moment at the beginning when you said like the original Green Ranger, I just assumed you were misspeaking and being like, "Oh, you meant like Army Ranger,
no,
Green
Power
Beret.
Ranger."
But then you said Power Ranger multiple times, and I realized, "Oh no, he means like the literal like the original Green Mighty Morphin
yes,
Power Ranger."
Yes.
That's cool. I mean, look, at least he didn't kill himself. Didn't one of them kill himself?
No, yeah, one of them like murdered his roommate, right?
Yeah, that was the.
Yeah, I mean, like it's. I mean, look, like, not to bring it all back to religion, but who owns the Power Rangers? Chaim Saban. What is Chaim Saban? I can say it. I'm Jewish.
Is that...
That's right. He's bald.
Oh.
He's very bald.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought you were going to go somewhere else with that, and I was like, okay. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know where you think I could have gone with that.
Oh, okay. I won't speculate.
Idiot.
Fucking dumbass.
It's like the anti-Semitic octopus, but it's like each arm is a different color of Power Ranger.
Yeah. When they morph together, they just make the big like 1930s cartoon with the little hat. Yeah. What did I call the yarmulke the other day that you cooked me for? Yamaha? I was going to say when we were talking about the Christianity thing, like you growing up like in the like school or whatever, I can't speak for Thomas's experience, but we would talk about Jews at like Baptist school, like church, like you guys almost got it, but you fucked up like because Muslims get the fuck out of here. That's it. That's persona non grata. But that's enemy number one. But whenever like I remember asking about Judaism, like in Vacation Bible School, and I was like, oh, like. They're like Christians, right? And my Sunday school teacher was like, no. But they're close. You guys were like, we were the Dodge Challenger Hellcat. You guys were the base model. Just the V6.
Yeah, I also more I knew that Jews were going to hell. Duh. What I also found out later in childhood was that Catholics are going to hell.
Yeah.
Which, yes. You know, that's a breath of
I don't even
air,
believe in but, hell, but I believe in
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Like, well,
I think it would just be nice to decide that, like, half of humanity's going to hell because fuck it. They chose wrong.
It was funny because I had a Cajun grandfather who basically moved to Texas for my grandmother, and he was, like, kind of racist, but also he was French Catholic. So he was the only non-Mexican guy at his Catholic church, like for like 30
so
years
awesome.
And just kind of dealt with it, I guess. I mean, I don't think he was like outwardly racist, but like for the last like.
No, so he spends 30 years every week in the pew seething.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. He talked about the Alamo every time I saw him. There's no way he was like, oh, nice little diversity. We could use that, you know.
There was like a thing where it would be like they would talk about because I kind of like you, Noah, I like got really into like reading about religion and shit at like a young age. You said it with the politics thing, but I stopped believing in God when I was like 8, but I kept going anyway because my mom, it was like important to her. But I remember asking like, hey, how do we know that we're right? Like, and again, they're like a Sunday school teacher isn't equipped to answer just basic questions about like the problem of evil or like eschatology, like just not, they're not equipped. You know what I mean? They didn't go to seminary. And even if they did, like my pastor went to seminary and he was a fucking moron. He was stupid. And I remember asking like, hey, like raising my hand, like, so like Jewish guys, Muslims, like Buddha guys, you know, how do we know that we're not like rolling the dice and coming up snake eyes or whatever? And they're like, we're not. And I was like, right, but like, how do you know? And they're like, oh, you just know. And that was a critical component I always missed out on, I guess, was the faith that I was like.
I think that that's also why, though, like, you know, when you hear about how it's like in Tennessee, they've just unveiled a new theme park that shows from beginning to end how the earth was created, you know, in just a few days.
Right.
And like how it's only like 4,000 years old or whatever. And I think that, like, yeah, there is actually, like, a segment of the population that, like, when, or, you know, of that group that when confronted with the thing you're confronted with, their answer is just to be like, well, You know, like, well, we've just got to make a museum to convince people of the truth. And, like, what is the truth? It's like, you know, something Kyrie Irving shares on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, it's the intellectual equivalent of that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not, like, theologically persuasive in any, like, kind of cosmic sense.
No.
It's, you know, it's flat coke by this
point. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's like that's why they have to do like all the stunt shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, look, like the only reason I say this, like Jews get off light because like, you know, granted, like, you know, like I don't want to say that like every Jewish guy's experience is the same in every country or whatever. But like, you know, is like, having like just like the most evil country in the world at the moment. Like, you know, it's just kind of like the outlet of negativity
you guys got it bad.
For your religion. Yeah. I mean, it just sort of means that everybody, you know, it's like you can like the religion is like, like, who cares? It's, you know, it's very like it doesn't seem to have much consequences for non-believers, let's say. And then, you know, it's like our state very much imposes consequences for non-believers.
Right. There was like one thing I realized that differed from like my friends who I knew that were Catholic, and I went to a Catholic university, is I can't, obviously I don't know like every type of Protestant, but the one that I'm very familiar with is that not only do we believe in hell, we revel in the idea of our enemies going there. Like the Catholic doctrine that I like became familiar with when I was in school was that like, it's up to interpretation. I remember learning about the whole Gehenna thing when I was there. And that was like a thing a lot of Catholics, they don't believe in hell necessarily.
Dude, you know what's crazy? Gehenna's a West Bank settlement now. Like, the actual place, Gehenna.
Yeah.
Like, the real place that became like the symbol of hell and where they did sacrifice, you know, human sacrifice and stuff. It's now just like somebody named like Yehuda from Brooklyn like lives there.
Dude.
Like, it's so fucked up. Like, it's so annoying.
The footage is fucking awful, and it makes you want to go fucking crazy and just do, like, fucking Minecraft-style shit to people who you feel are responsible. But the video...
I prefer Roblox, but go
the
off.
The videos that really, for some reason, like, make me insane is they'll be interviewing somebody, a Jewish person in Israel. And I can't tell if they're, like, from there, born there. It doesn't matter or not. But when they start speaking and the person's like, so, you know, what do you think should happen to Gaza after all of this? And they go, oh, well, me and my husband, we came down from the Bronx. and what we think we're going to do is we're going to make probably.
No, it's always – because the worst part is that they don't even have to say that they're from the Bronx. It's more like – it's like the video is like fucking like a Palestinian guy – who's watching all of his family's possessions being carried out by like the most fucking like fridge looking like people, you know, like coming out, like, you know, with mattresses and all this other shit. And then one of them's like, listen, you lost.
Yes.
It's mine now. Yes. It's ours. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
wait a minute. I know that accent, and that is not indigenous to the Middle East. Hold on a moment now.
It's crazy because you're like, how do I say this? You're like, I know that people are people, and the worst parts of the internet and the worst parts of politics and history, like, they are what those guys are watching this and they're going, see, I fucking told all of you know what I mean? And it's shitty. And you watch that video, you're like, you guys are, do you understand, like, how this is, like, coming across to people who maybe saw some of those opinions and far right wing crazy shit and were like, I don't like the sound of that. And then they're watching it and they're going, oh, you know what I mean? Like, people who can't discern just like violence and then just like terrible politics or whatever. They just like they take them on because they think it's like proof that the shit maybe they didn't get into is correct or whatever. What I'm trying to say.
I mean, I do think that like the fucking with these settlers, at least, like one of the things that like the symbolism is like really annoys me about it, at least, is like there's no like it doesn't even like represent like an ideal. I mean, beyond like you too can be like a fat ass who's like, you know, a zealot, a religious zealot, and like get somebody else's house that you didn't have, and you don't have to like, you know. You have to lift a finger insofar as you probably had to do some paperwork.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that to me is like a very, like a pretty a difficult thing to swallow, because like at least the violence and dispossession, like I get like the kind of like natural equilibrium of that, like, you know, using a gun or a missile or whatever to like, you know, blow up somebody's house or take it from them. It's like, yeah, that's like a violent act. And, you know, it's all like it's fraught with all the drama of that. But this is like a weird flavor of like a horrible, like banal thing that like, hell, maybe you've like seen or experienced yourself of like a fucking, you know, like I've never been evicted, but like I've seen it happen. And it's like fucking like, imagine doing that. But it's like, all right. But here's the thing. The guy doing it to you
is so annoying.
He's so annoying. He's like the most annoying guy who ever lived. And you're not allowed to say he's annoying because you could get in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God.
In a very particular way.
Thomas, did you guys... I know that there was like a... I think there was like some sort of propaganda done to like Southerners, Christian Southerners, because... My mom and people that I knew and that went to my church, Thomas, I don't know if you have a similar experience, they looked at Israel like the like holy land. Like everything happened there. It's not we were taught in church that like even though everybody in Israel is Jewish and they don't get to hang out with the big dog when the time comes, everything over there, like Tel Aviv is like if you go to Tel Aviv, you're so close to like his house. You know what I mean? And so Israel and Israelis were incredibly important to just guys from Mississippi. Like people I knew from Texas, you know?
It's funny because, like, I've learned a lot more about Israeli culture the last few years. And it's funny that, like, Protestant Americans think of it as, like, think of the residents of Israel as, like, we need to protect these people. And
yes.
Their land, this is, they need to win this battle. They are a, you know, not like a master race, but like this is a chosen, they're God's chosen people.
They're like the Na'vi. Yeah. The Na'vi.
And then Israelis are like, free labor? All right, come on, come over here, help us farm. You know what I mean? It's like we're just, they're like, these beautiful apes love us. They love us. Come, please come. Pretty expensive to fly over here, actually, but it's a holy land if you want to come visit.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have anything to do with our wine process. If you touch any of that, we have to throw it out. But you know, you're welcome to come
visit.
They do have
like a brisk tourism business, not just from, you know, the Jews, but also like before I ever went, like apparently when I was like 1 year old, I went to Amarillo, Texas, like once a week because my dad, they flew out my dad to be their rabbi once a week, you know, 30 years ago, which is crazy considering Amarillo, Texas is near nothing. Yeah. But like, you know, I think, you know, aside from that, like, experience as a baby, I only really, my first experience of Texans was in Israel, like for sure. And I was as impressed and as enamored with the Lone Star State then as I am now.
really?
You don't forget flesh that red that easily.
My buddy who had the same, obviously, upbringing as me, we grew up in the same area. He got out of high school, goes to the Marines, right? And I remember he came back from leave and he had just been in Tel Aviv. And he was like telling me, he was like, dude, man, you know, church and what, like, I thought it was going to be like, you know, people were going to be like doing chants in the street and like it'd be like paved with gold. And like, I just thought, I never saw no pictures. I never went there. I just thought it was like the closest you can get to heaven. And all I did while I was there, dude, is fuck Israeli women and take ecstasy, like go to nightclubs. And I was like, dude, it's like fucking, it's like Germany over there. Just except like, cause when he was like, every time he would go get stationed somewhere, he was a Marine. So they just go get drunk, get in trouble with the local police, get into fist fights with some locals, almost go to jail. And then they would leave. That's what he did while he was there. And he said that his experience there was like, so not what he was brought up thinking that Israel, like he thought everyone just went to church and synagogue all the time. And they just fucking, and there's some guys like that there for sure, like Orthodox dudes. But he was like, dude, everything that was there for him to do was centered around sin, partying.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, Noah, but isn't Tel Aviv like the central, like the most like nightclubby area? in Israel? Is
yeah, it? I mean, like, so basically, like, I think like 90 plus percent of the country basically lives within like this like horizontal-ish band in the middle of the country that is, you know, like about like let's say like half the country, you know, is not even like a third of the country mm-hmm. in size, and that goes from like Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, sort of downward sloping to the east. And Tel Aviv is like, you know, is now it has sort of evolved into like a larger metropolitan area. There's like a couple smaller cities to the south. There's a couple wealthier cities to the north. The northern part of Tel Aviv is generally is the richer part, but like it's a nightclub, like it's a late night city to like a point. It's like one. I mean, like the thing is that like even is just that, like now it's like it's it has a pretty solid beach, but it's really fucking expensive. Mm. So it's also like the tourism that is there is like increasingly like the average like American tourist experience, like they're not going to get like a wow. The Israelis are gods, yeah. and or you know Jewish Navi yeah, or whatever. Yeah. Like you know, like maybe there'll be a bit of that, but like you know, a lot of it is like they fly into Tel Aviv, they get on a tour bus, they go to Jerusalem, they go to the Dead Sea, they find out that yes, a 400-pound man can float in the Dead Sea, and then they go, you know, they go to Tel Aviv and. You know, find out that a 400-pound man cannot float in the ocean, and then they go home. And it's like, I think that there's, like, the Tel Aviv tourist experience is just, like, by and large at this point, like, sort of, you know, it's like a nice city with some tourist amenities in the middle of, like, a sort of big, like, sprawl. Mm-hmm. Everything costs too much money. And it's got, like, that beautiful zone of interest quality where if you, like, you know, go like this and, like, listen with your ears for a minute, you can hear, like, you know, like you know, less than 100 miles, like, to the south, like, the screams of Gaza or whatever. Like, it is, like, Israel is, like, the only other place I've been besides Israel that has as much, like, visible police and military presence on the streets, as much overt nationalism, like, in terms of, you know, like, I saw, like, you see Israeli flags everywhere, even when things are in quote-unquote peacetime there. The only other place like that I've been is Turkey.
Okay.
And, like, it's just in how intense it is. And yeah, I mean, it's a very like, yeah, they've got a very appealing rah-rah thing.
The thing that, well, I don't remember this. I went to me and a bunch of buddies from college. One of them got married. So we went to Cancun for his bachelor party. And one of my old roommates was newly single, so he was like, I'm going to fucking, you know, I'm going to try to be Rico Suave. Big Hispanic, tall guy. You know, he's like, I'm going to try to get laid while I'm here because this is my countryman or whatever the fuck. I know how to get around. And, like, day one, he meets these two girls from Israel. They're there on vacation as well. And I have a really bad habit of, like, having two to even maybe three beers. And then just saying whatever the fuck I want, not caring if anybody, like, gets mad at me or, like, gets my feelings hurt. So we were, like, hanging out by the pool, and at one point my buddy, Ed, he was, like, they, like, go to get a drink. And he was, like, hey, man, I can sense. Because earlier I was, like, oh, do you guys live, like, next to any of, like, the settlements or anything like that? And they were, like, very awkward. They go to get drinks, and he's like, hey, dude, do not fuck this up for me with your stupid shit. And I was like, dude, fuck up what, dude? And he was, what are you talking about? And he was like, bro, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's like, you've been drinking tequila all fucking day. I know you've done a little bit of coke. Do not ask these fucking women anything about Gaza, like any of the bullshit that's going on over there. Do you understand me? This is one of them gave me her number, and I think maybe I could get a 2-for-2 deal on this. So do not fuck this up. And I was like, you got it, man. I won't do anything stupid. And then they come back and the night kind of goes on or whatever, and I don't remember what I said, but I woke up in the morning and we go to get brunch, and he's pretty mad at me, And I was like, what's up, man? You hungover? He was like, dude, do you not remember what happened last night? And I was like, nah, dude, I went and bought a 20 bag at the beach, and I just went wacky with it. You know what I mean? You saw me. I was fucked up. He's like, yeah, no, I saw you. You were asking them, like, if they thought it was cool, like, what their government, like, that you were, like, saying, oh, like, Israel, like, somebody needs to blow it up. He was like, you used a term you used before. You just said black glass. You just said it needs to be, they need to glass the place. And that they were, like, not very happy about that. And so now, I don't think, he was like, we were going to supposed to hang out at the beach with them later. But they're definitely not going to do that now. And I was like, well, I mean, I got a girlfriend I love, so I don't care about them. B, even if I didn't, C, were they mad? did I piss them off? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I realized even then, like, not actually remembering the interaction, I was like, am I in the wrong? I don't know. But they take that shit. Some of them, like, well.
He's like, dude, I was going to fuck Ava Braun later, and he messed it up for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it is like, I think one of the things that is like, you know, like I have family in Israel. I have a bunch of, you know, I've lived there like at different periods of time when I was younger. I think that like they're sort of like now confronting for the first time the sort of like fact that like people associate like the name of their state with like, you know, like evil.
Sure.
Like, and doing evil. And you know, and that's just sort of like, oh, like they've been kind of insulated from that because people haven't really been paying attention to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict for a while. They've been insulated from that because like there's this like a kind of like global tourist culture thing that like they kind of insulate themselves in. Like but I think you kind of experienced it indirectly where it's just like you meet an Israeli and like they are baffled. Like they know, they're conditioned that like the outside world, like, you know, thinks very poorly of what they, of their government and perhaps even of the idea of them as a you know, distinct political entity. But like very rarely do they encounter that head on. You know, because it's a pretty well constructed, like if you made this really nice and comfortable, you know, bubble for yourself, like would you pop it? Like, right. Hell no. Like, it's, you know, I mean, it's like, I think that there's like an enormous amount of psychology going on that I'm not equipped to handle.
I think the mandatory military service too really does a lot to fucking, like, there's no, not that people can't think for themselves, but like, I feel like people, like, going into the military and doing those 2 years when you're like 18 or 20, like a lot of people, like while your brain is forming, you're just taking in all that propaganda, and then it's like you're kind of conditioned to where anybody who disagrees with you on a certain subject, your immediate thought is they want me and everybody I know dead because they're an anti-Semite. And then it's like, well, then how can you receive, you know, push back?
Oh,
and
totally.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, how can your brain handle that? You know what I mean?
Well, and it's also, I think, because, like, one of the sort of paradoxes, well, not paradox, but one of the things that's sort of emerging in Israeli society and has been for, like, 15, 20 years, is that, like, the younger generations are more right-wing than their parents. And so it's sort of, like, And the contours and the specifics of it are like really interesting. Like for example, a survey that I've thought about for like many years was like talked about how there was like a you know, like one of the core projects of like Israeli, you know, like state education, and you know it's like any other state education in a mostly Western society, like it has limits to its effectiveness. However, in this case, like, you know, they talk a lot about the Holocaust, and kids who are from families there who are from background, like, you know, who are like Moroccan or Iraqi or whatever, and, you know, who had no experience or relation of the Holocaust, thought about it more on a given day than kids who, you know, who had family that had been in the Holocaust or were, you know, Jews who had fled Poland or whatever the fuck. And so, to me, you know, the Pale of Settlement, and there's a kind of like, I think that like the younger generations sort of like, you know, having like this kind of, you know, like they've gotten the stew of the Holocaust education and this sort of like, you know, like the founding, you know, fable of the state is this one in which it's like what immediately preceded it was like, you know, this gigantic slaughter of Jews. And that is just like a very, you know, it's like, it's as if, you know, we said that like the, it's like this is kind of glib, but I don't think it's totally wrong. Like that it would be like Americans saying like, oh, like right before the Declaration of Independence, Great Britain said that they were going to cut the dick off of every red-blooded American male. Like they were going to come and kill people, and they were going to, you know, and it's like, that's not, or they, you know, or they tried to or whatever. And it's like, well, like I think that there's a, like that, like when you then put it with the army, you know, like the way it sort of, to what you were saying, Thomas, like the way it ends up like kind of reinforcing in the worst way in the army is I don't even think necessarily like vertically, like from like their officers or whatever, but I think it's like fucking horizontal. Like I think all these fucking kids like together, because they're in a country that like is very unequal, like even on their own terms, like the Israeli bourgeois, like person, rough middle-class equivalent, like, you know, is like, they don't have like, it's very competitive to get good jobs. Everything costs money, blah, 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 blah. Real estate is crazy expensive. You know, it's a rough bargain. And I think that like the army is sort of in this like so this experience kind of like it's like, oh yeah, like they're all, you know, like all of them having it at that age. There's some class, you know, there's a lot of class sorting that goes into the army. Like a lot of people from the same backgrounds go, it, you know, it's actually like similar to how like in Germany they have trade schools and everybody brags about the German trade school system, but like it really is also just kind of a way of like keeping like arranging a class, society of classes. And so it's like fucking they like in Israel, it's like, yeah, they just do that at the army before you ever get to the level of university. And it's like through this process that like makes all of these kids around people like them and crazier. And, you know, they make like they're now going through this process where I think like the Israelis are going to regret doing this, but like about trying to integrate more religious people into the army. And it's just like going to exacerbate a lot of that problem.
I feel like a lot of the, and again, this is part speculation and like part kind of looking into it, but there has been a like general uptick from what I have seen of like further right wing ideologies being popular with like not my generation. I wouldn't even say necessarily like Thomas yours, but like burgeoning Gen Alpha and then like younger Gen Z. And that's like something you see reflected, I guess, in social media and stuff or whatever, but it is like a cartoonish type. For example, it's like a nihilistic type of where a lot of comments you'll see people making on like videos of war footage, it's like they're about to find out why we don't got free healthcare. And it's like that is an acceptance. That statement carries so much bullshit. Like you're accepting that over here we got a raw fucking deal, son. Like it's fucked. You know, whatever, like in the States. And then you're like celebrating that fact by like, yeah, you know, a lot of the shit's broke here, but we are good at killing. And that mentality, to me, it's something where you like look upon it with shame. But now it's a thing that people are like almost weirdly proud about. You know what I mean? And it's and I think a lot of that is extension of, I mean, I don't know, maybe like feeling powerless or whatever. But it's funny as fuck to me.
Well, I mean, I think people can turn, you know, like that's, it's like a very, like people can be super ironic about it, but they do often really genuinely feel like, well, we don't get certain things in life. We don't get them.
Yeah.
And it's, and you know,
you're fucked.
And as a result, however, sometimes you get to beat the shit out of the other.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, it's, you know, it's as, you know, on, I think it's like an impulse that works on like a sort of societal level and also at the level of like, sometimes like a guy just walks into a bar and just like wants, like he just wants to get the shit kicked out of him and like, you know, and like, and looks for whoever can make that happen, you know, and figuring out how to do it.
Yeah, it's like, you want me to care about this country? Joke's on you. I don't care if I'm alive. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's my foreign policy.
There's like a, yeah, like a death cult aspect.
My foreign policy is this foreign object is going to be going into my skull at 600 miles per per minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You think I like to? I want to go to the dentist? Hell no, son. I want to see blood. If it was far, I want to see rivers of it. I want streets to run red. My son, he broke his leg. We just had to. He just walks around with a limp. My wife, she got cancer. But goddamn, whenever I see them fucking A-10s whir up, woo, boy, I get hard as hell. And you're like, you think to yourself, oh, this is a character. This is not a real guy.
I just think it's like, what's so crazy though, right, is like how uneven and like silly stuff is, where it's like, okay, you're going to have to lose your teeth, but then when you get on Medicare, you can get them all back. We're moving at an alarming rate, like with cosmetic dentistry, and that's a good thing, where like Medicare is covering more and more stuff year after year, but it is just like... Like, this sucks. Like, I just can everybody just keep their teeth and, like, not have to, like, worry about going to a dentist who, you know, it just seems like such a, like, it's, like, so stupid and funny. And, like, that to me is, like, one I think a lot about.
Yeah, and Thomas, like, we've talked a little bit about it on the show, but, like, I know there's a certain type of person that I'm very familiar with in the South that is like, if you ask them questions about shit, like basic issues, like, oh, are you like my mom's a good example. Like, are you pro-choice or pro-life? My mom's like, I would not get an abortion, but you know, I don't want to tell anybody what they can and can't do. Oh, like, do you think school should be cheaper? Yeah. You know, it was expensive. I know you had to get a lot of loans out. I wish you wouldn't have done that. And same with your brother. Okay. You know, do you think, you know, she always complains about how she's like, I'll tell her how Europe or Ireland was. She's like, I wish we had trains and stuff here. And I tell her, I'm like, okay, at best, you're like a standard issue liberal. And she goes, no, I'm a conservative. I'm a Christian conservative. I'm a vote for, you know, I don't know. It's to me, it's like not a politics thing. It's like people say team sports stuff, but like even sometimes you tell your team they're not worth the fuck. To me, it's even deeper than that. And Thomas, I don't know if it was.
I mean, it is. I do think there is like an element of just like fucking with that. You know, it's funny because like conservatives make this complaint with like, you know, it's like liberals demand, they demand conformity in their, you know, with their soy and their Portland or whatever. But like. It is, like, and maybe this is a little rose emoji of me, but, like, it is, like, just, it seems to me, like, objectively true that, like, actually, like, if you live in like, you know, like, fucking, like, red-ass places, the reality is, like, much more, like, you ask somebody 10 basic questions, like, do you think everybody should have taxpayer health care? You know, do you think that, like, everybody should be guaranteed, like, a job? Do you think that everybody should be, you know, like, that abortion... You know, like in certain whatever, like et cetera, and then it's like congratulations, you are a center left Democrat. Yeah. You are a middle
fuck
of the
you,
road
pussy.
Democrat.
I ain't nothing like that. You know,
yeah.
And then you got one guy who's like, actually, I'm evil and I poach animals.
Yeah,
and also I murder people. How about
that?
Yeah, I think if you want to get a leg up, you should be able to. I mean, I killed my neighbor's daughter.
Yeah.
You know,
no. One of my least favorite things is and. When people on the internet who have never been to the South or not, like they didn't grow up around here, they insist that for some reason it's this myth, it's this fucking theater. They insist that fucking actually everybody in the South is a secret communist, but they're just oh no, they live. And I'm like, look, are there people that I've met who I think if given the right motivation, like would just be left wing, but it's too much pressure from the in group out group thing? Sure. But also, the vast majority of people you meet out here really love this. They love the shit. They love...
Yeah, and it's like fucking most people are pretty like... I think it's also seems like super pretty clear. Like, it's they love the shit, etc. But it's just like, why would they do something else?
Yeah.
Like, why would they... Like, what fucking reason would be like, hey, man, listen... Like, that's why, I mean, like, that's why, like, Twitter is mad funny, because that's the one way that you can convince somebody is like, hey, man, for, like, internet pussy, would you want to post about, like, how Bernie Sanders is really cool, how, like, he wore that jacket that one time, and just, like, alienate everybody in, like, you know, your Texas hill country town, like, you know, that... It's like a sundown town, basically.
You can, I think you just gave me a great idea. The new purpose of this show, the way that I'm going to convert the simple-minded masses of the South into sort of maybe just into
with our massive
our
audience,
massive audience is what I'm going to do is I'm going to yes, I'm going to tell everybody I know personally, and I'm going to get the word out that hey, listen, if you're lonely, you come up off that oil rig and you can't find yourself any trim, no girl wants to give you the time of day, I got a secret for you. You can just paint one of your fucking pinky nails red and say Karl Marx was good. And the whole town, will be chasing you. Dude, you're going to get off that boat and you're going to be swimming in it. And I know guys.
Yeah, yeah. You could do like a musical about that. Like a guy who gets off the bus in, you know, like
Music Man,
style.
76 and, strong, but yeah.
And he's, and so he's just like, all right, so listen. No, and that rhymes with P, and that stands with T, and that stands for trans. Like, and he's, you know, he's like doing like a whole song, and like. Now I know all you boys want trim here in River City.
Yeah. A lot of you boys have been voting for Tammany, but I've got a secret. If you just say the word union at the bar, the lady that washes the dishes, she'll put a finger in it. Ain't that right, boys?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I was at a house party one time in San Antonio, and my band had played a show. And this is kind of off point, but a little. But anyway, this guy sits down next to me, a black gentleman, and he's got like this long. He looks like fucking Trinity in the Matrix. He's got this long leather skirt on, and this like short leather biker jacket, and his dreads are in this high ponytail. He's got this shit on. He's got like black painted nails, a little bit of eyeliner. He sits down next to me, and real sexy. And he's like, "Oh, hey man, that was a sick show, bro." And I was like, "Thank you, dude. I really appreciate that." And he's like, "Oh, I like your jacket." I was like, "Thanks, man. You got that shit on, dude. You look good." And dude, I guess maybe he just assumed. He was like, "Yeah, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Like, I just started dressing like this like a month ago because I'm trying to fuck some of this goth pussy. You feel me?" And I was like, "Wait, what?" I'm sitting next to Ashley, and he's like, "Yeah, like it's crazy, like." So, like, I don't even, like, some of this stuff is cool. Like, I like the jacket, but, like, the nail paint thing, like, that's a little something, you feel me? But, like, it's crazy, bro. Like, I don't even really fuck with this type of music, but, like, I started coming to these shows because my friend brought me here, and, like, I'd be slanging a little bit of coke, but, like, bro, all you got to do is just kind of, like, dress a little gay. And some of these girls, bro, and I was like, stop, stop, enough. But but it's, like, not wrong. There is a level of like truth to it, as crass as it is or whatever. It's like, hey,
I mean, I think it's like one of the, like, there's always like this, like conservative, like this, like right wing guy accusation that like you're just pretending to be left wing so you can fit in. Yes. Or you're just, you know, talking about Gaza cause it's trendy. And it's like, okay, man, I'm gonna be real with you. There are so many worse reasons to do something than because like you think you're going to get laid. And like,
well, the man, it's like ever since I started wearing these suspenders and this propeller hat, it's like every time I go to the science fair, it's like mad bitches with me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's like the whole thing of like being getting into, like, I don't believe in heaven or hell, but if you are getting into Catholicism to fuck like a ketamine addicted like Brooklyn coke whore, you go to hell too.
That
one's
tough.
Because I see these pictures, like, they'll get reposted from, like, Instagram to 4chan or Reddit and then make its way to Twitter, and you see them. It's like, the girls are, like, heading to Mass, and then all the reply.
Oh, well, no, those are, I think, unfortunately, those images originate on Twitter, is my impression. That, I mean, I feel in general that those are also, like, it's a... You know, it's hard out here to be somebody who wants to have an audience on the internet and to think, like, how do I get attention?
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, listen, I think, I know Thomas has developed a dissertation on the symbolism or the frailty of getting, being Catholic for pussy online. But I do, like, I fucking, like, that one to me is, one's tough. I mean, you know, that again, like, it's, like, converting to Catholicism to get laid, if it works, man, like, fine. Just, like, don't be on the internet about it, you know?
Again, it's like, I remember being, I'm a crazy old. I remember all, if you wanted to change a little bit about your personality, like, if you wanted to pretend you saw a movie or a band that you, like, fuck, I hate the Mountain Goats, but I pretended to like them when I was in college because there's a girl I liked that liked them. Whatever. Okay, Thomas has a great story about how he kind of was a Christian for at least 2 more years just in hopes that he would get a hand job or something like that, if I remember it correctly.
Yep, didn't happen.
But, like, what I guess I'm trying to say is
that, it is, by the way, the paradox of that is that, like, when you it find is
out
true.
That, when you find out, like, she's not faking it, and you're like, oh, okay, I thought we were, like, I thought this was, like, a whole thing both doing. She's like, no, like, if you, like, we'll probably get married early. It's like, oh, nice. Yeah.
Also.
Oh, nice. Oh, fuck.
I want to marry you for sure.
Yeah.
I can't wait to figure you in 5 years.
It was really cool to basically have, like, you know, like, you know, no prospects, no coolness, no hope of anything in my life in you know, growing up in suburban New Jersey. But then, you know, it's completely true. What Hot American Summer, all that bullshit. You go to Jewish summer camp and, like, the biggest fucking nerd can ball out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, every dog can get his day. And that's something I really respect about the Jewish faith.
Yeah. You guys, when we would do camp, when we were talking, like, at the beginning of the episode about, like, the theatrics, there's this thing called Passion it's for, like, young Christian teenagers, and you go, and it's in a, it was, ours was in a college football stadium, and there was, like, 20,000 people there, and they play worship music, and, like, they do sermons, and then you go zip lining. There's, like, a camp nearby.
What the fuck is it with you people?
Listen,
and zip lining?
Here's what I'm about to say, okay?
It's all flat here. It's easy.
It's, here's my 2 cents. They make you do all that stuff, right? They don't really feed you. You go ziplining, you go rock climbing, you go kayaking. You do, like, granola Colorado boyfriend bullshit. And then around midnight, they play more worship music in a room where they separate you, like, 10 by 10. And then you're sleep deprived, you're hungry, you're confused, you're, like, 14. So, like, anytime you would even see the top part of a girl's underwear, you would have to, like, go into the woods and just, like, vibrate for, like, fucking 10. You know what I mean? They go, what you're feeling right now, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. It finally got into you. So what you want to do with that feeling is completely up to you. But I recommend that you give yourself over to God today, because you never know when your day is going to be. And I was like, I think I just need, like, a Snickers bar or a cigarette. Like, I think I need, like, a sandwich or something, man. I'm really tired. Like, we ziplined a lot. Like, I'm sleepy. And it's like, no, you're not tired, man. You're actually awake. You could be. And
I mean, like, that is, like, to me, you know, like, it's like, I want to be like, damn, that sounds corny. That sucks. But, like, the tau of going to Jewish summer camp is that basically, like, you know, it's really fun and cool. And you know, it's like all, like, I'm sure secular summer camps are very good in similar ways. But then also, I remember 1 year we did an activity called Settlement, where we did, like, a role playing game where we, like, set up, like, settlements with milk crates.
Let's
go.
No.
So it's like, you know, who's to say? Like, you know, like, who am I to judge these doofy ass fucking Baptists in Houston being like, well, you know, we're gonna zip line for the Lord, when, like, my Jewish ass was literally role playing Yehuda from Brooklyn stealing
so
a home,
tough,
more or less. I mean, it is, like, it's like a historical thing, so it's really about Yehuda from Brooklyn doing that in, like, 1940.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a I mean, it's
that's sick, dude.
Like, it's pretty cool. It's it was really awesome, and I'm excited to take that memory with me into Passover.
Yeah, you get to play either. It's either laser tag out in a field or the extermination game. That's cool.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
We got rock climbing, y'all. We got zip line, and then we got Genocide 2. Anything you guys want to. So, whoever you want to be, you want to be Rwanda, it's your choice. I recommend being the Army, though.
I mean, it is, like, crazy because, like, I'm pretty sure that was the same year that they showed us this, like, three-hour TV movie with, like, it has a pretty stacked cast, though. Like, Donald Sutherland about, it's called Uprising, and it's about, like, the Warsaw Ghetto. And like, it is pretty fucking crazy to, like, you know, be, like, a 14-year-old at summer camp and, like, horny and subjected to, like, five different kinds of political propaganda that push you in a different way. Like, I'm now perhaps realizing that that wasn't such a, quote-unquote, normal experience in its own way.
All right. So we got two games for tonight. Take your pick. We got, here on the left, we got Pin the Tail on the Donkey. Here on this other side, we got Blow Up the Halal Cart. So just
they would fucking... They would have us watch the Left Behind movies, dude, at like 1 a.m. and they would have us, like, I remember one camp I went to was,
dude, my dad got so into those, he like learned about Christian literature and was like, Noah, these people, dude, are crazy. And I was like, yeah, like, I mean, admittedly, Left Behind is pretty fucking nuts.
It's insane,
nuts.
But like, I remember watching it and I was like, it was the first time I had gone to like an actual Christian camp. I think I was like maybe 11, and we watched it. It was super late. We like stayed up, and then they turned the TV off. And again, like they have the they've got the Protestant intense gravitas thing is they got it down because the guy like walks in front of the fucking rolled out like VHS TV thing, and he's like, "So how many of you, show of hands, thought that what you just saw was just a movie?" And we were like, "Oh, it's a movie." He's like, and he was like, "It is a movie, but I need you to understand."
Yeah, for the uninitiated, this movie's big, like you know, like shocking early event is that like the rapture happens and a bunch of people disappear.
It's
from
fucking
an
Michael Bay's revelation, is what it is. Like, it's insane. Like it, and yeah, and so we were like, "Oh, it's a movie," and he was like, "It is. It's a dramatic reenactment of what will occur," and you have to ask yourself a question. Did you see how difficult, how scary it was to be one of the people left behind? Hopeless. And so, if you don't want to be that way, all you have to do is give yourself over to the Lord tonight. And those instances, and it made me feel very much like I was like, "Oh, dude, man, I think I like jacking off, and I think I'm going to smoke weed in a couple years, too."
Yeah, like, I have to imagine that that is like what that response like provokes in you at a certain point. It's just like you're like, "All right, man, listen, I wasn't really sold on it before, but I am gonna go try some meth right now."
It has that effect on people where like I know that they did the drug scaring thing and the sex scaring thing, and then like the first time I fucking smoked weed, I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do this a bunch." And then, like first time I did pills or anything. And then you have sex before you're married, and you're like, "Yo, they're full of shit. This shit fucking smacks. Like, this is badass. This is the coolest shit in the world."
I also imagine that, like, when then, like, you know, like, one of them goes to a psychologist, and they're like, "So listen, have you tried nutting?" You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's sort of like, "Well, the doctor said I should nut, honey."
The doctor recommends...
"I know the wedding's not until April, but he's saying I'd be a lot happier if I nutted."
"I'd be less stressed. I'd be happier at church if I just busted a rope somewhere in the vicinity of your body, you know, at nighttime or during..."
"Yeah, you know, it's, you know, he even said it doesn't have to be with you. I just need to nut. It's the only way the homicidal
urge
stops.
I'm going to really hurt everyone in this house if you don't, if something else doesn't happen.
I think that they should, you know, disallow me from being in school zones until I nut," the doctor said. He said that he said that schools, nursing homes, and even churches I should probably hold back on until I nut.
Oh, man. Yeah. Listen, babe, I know this is really important to both of us. High school sweethearts and all that, but... yeah, you know how I've been pushing you into the pool real hard lately, just kind of like at our pool parties? I've been tickling you and kind of gripping your rib bone and like, you know, when we play fight, I put you through the sheetrock last Saturday. I could stop doing all that if you just like, I think it would probably only take a second, you just suck on it. Just maybe like, just a little bit. Doctor's orders.
So everybody just lies.
Yeah,
right?
Like, so
not everybody. There are not everybody, as it turns out. But yeah, a lot of people do. A lot of people slip up in the eyes of the Lord. And you know, it's real annoying. A lot of people mess up one time and then they don't and then they change their mind about it. And then you have to be like, "Oh, sick. Yeah, I changed my mind too."
Yeah.
Nice. Dude, yeah, I was also thinking that sucked.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
I hated getting my dick sucked by you. It sucked.
I really didn't like it. You know, I didn't like the feeling or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like I didn't just decide to not kill myself. That's cool. Yeah, we shouldn't do this again. Honestly, I'm glad. I'm sorry that Satan took a hold of me. And did that
house party
and let me partake of that with you. And I was really conflicted whenever you said that you wanted me to do that. I thought for several seconds. You know what I mean?
When your butt was bouncing onto my penis, I was so mad at you, so angry. I was so angry for betraying my Lord. One of the types of guys that you really get to see a lot, and I don't know, I'm sure there's a version of it, kind of growing up, you know, yeshiva and all that. But the lint. Okay, when you grow up like. Super churchy, Southern Baptist-y, no gay shit. 100% no gay shit. You get to meet Lindsey Graham guys in real life. The most conservative, big F-150, like square-toed boots, boot-cut Wranglers, fucking cowboy hat, all that shit. And then you meet him. It's like your friend Timmy's dad. You go over there to fucking...
Yeah, he's like, my name is Cloud.
My name is Eustace. I think you've been playing with my son. He plays on your pony team. This is my wife, Marie, and Marie's just like this. Just eyes gone. She's so fucked up on Xanax. And I just thought it was so – you and my boy, I love the way y'all play. Because he don't make too many friends, and, of course, Timmy is just completely psychotic. He's like, hey.
Do people – how much open carrying is there
all the time,
in this
all the time,
kind of world?
Everywhere. All the time.
It is. I do enjoy like the air of menace that just has to add to like the most mundane encounters like this
in high school.
So that like that Lindsey Graham guy, all of a sudden it's like he's like, you know, like in, like, you know, underneath that is like he's like, I could end your life.
Well,
you know, if this gets out of hand,
imagine like a
there was.
Go ahead, Don.
So it's not very common, but in Texas they randomly legalized open carry of swords a few years ago. And I worked at TJ Maxx at the time, and there was this dude who would come in wearing like blown out and one shorts, and he would have a fucking katana, dude. I'm dead serious. He would have like a belt over his, he would have like a sling over his and one shorts, wife beater, fucking like replica Japanese sword. And the first time he walked in, I was like 16 or 17, and I was like, hey, can this guy have a fucking sword in here? And the manager was like, oh, yeah, it's cool. It's, like, it's legal now. I'm like, you can't ask him. I'm like, I can't ask him to fucking put it in the car. And she's like, no, it's fine. Yeah, it's open carry. I'm like, he has a sword. He's looking at Kelowna. He has a fucking sword.
There was a
I just also like the idea of somebody going to TJ Maxx often enough.
He was a regular, dude. He would come in, and I'd be like, there's the one guy with a fucking sword.
Why? What is he getting at TJ Maxx on a regular basis?
He had a wife and kids.
No, he did not.
He would go there with his family, and he was the dad who had the sword. And it pissed me off every time. I'd go, this guy's in Weatherford, Texas. Why does he have a – what does he need a sword for?
The fucking – I think I told you about this, Thomas. There's a group of guys. I think they're like 20 or 30 strong. And once a month, they go up to the Capitol in Austin, and they open carry – you can open carry rifles – too, like, or they have their like AR-15s or whatever. And I was driving. I think I just moved to the city. I was going to do stand up somewhere, and I was like, I just saw like six guys walk by in like white button ups and like black slacks and like fucking like assault rifles. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I read one of their picket signs. They're an anti-circumcision. Like they consider themselves like a cell.
Oh,
they're not like.
That's they're everywhere. When I was at college, I saw those guys all the time. They're old hat.
The hatness of it, I understand them, but they combining like carrying your AR-15 to yell at people to one guy, one of my Uber drivers, I told Tom about this.
Listen, dude, you don't want to know what Jews are willing to do to defend their right to do it.
Will told me that I had to ask him when we did the Chapo shows, and we were at a bar after the Houston show, and we were bullshitting, and I go, hey, man, I got to ask you something. And he was like, what's up? And I was like, is the sucking the baby thing, is that real, or is that like...
A very, very small group of people do it, but they're like... It's like not like a widespread practice. It's like a really indefensible custom of like a small sect, mostly in New York. But what makes it so fucked up, aside from the and it's like it extends beyond, like that's the specific case in question. People like the incidents that people talk about. I'm sure it is more widespread under the like in ways in places where it's not discussed. Like I have friends who grew up like Hasidic, and there's a lot of stuff wrong in that kind of world that people obviously don't talk about publicly. Sure. But like they like, yeah, like it's circumcision, you know, fairly normal, you know, like if somebody's opposed to it, I understand. But like, it's been going on for like a couple thousand years. Whereas this other thing with the baby penis in the mouth or whatever, like that's
no
not
bueno.
Good. Like that's both not good on a fundamental level. I disagree
Thank
with
you.
It. I
Everybody,
Noah clear.
Doesn't think it's
I
cool.
Think it's, I think it's.
And I do want to push back a little bit on that because I feel like the baby penis thing has been going on for maybe even longer than that. And whenever you suddenly gatekeep it, you know, the Catholic Church has had a hard enough time. You're gatekeeping baby penis at that point, and it makes people say, why am I even going to church? You know what I mean? Where am
like,
I going to get
point?
My son's penis sucked on? If not, you know, they'll go to the Catholics. Pope Francis will suck on women's feet at church whenever they want. It's a beautiful thing. And you don't, you know, I'm sure maybe T.D. Jakes does it. I don't know. I'm sure there's pastors who do it, but you don't see it as much in the Protestant community. And for those, you know, devout foot freaks, they're looking for places. You know, they're looking. I think the churches that do the synagogues that do the penis thing, maybe they move on to feet. I think that's more
that's
socially
a,
acceptable.
That's
a good compromise.
I think
would actually.
Yeah, maybe an armpit thing. You know, I don't know.
Remember when the Dalai Lama asked that kid to suck on his tongue? Man, that was.
I couldn't remember. Like I'll confess that like there was somebody who said it was like some idiomatic or cultural thing. Like I can't tell. Like I'm not willing to that one. That was a little bit too pat for me. That like
well,
it just came out.
If it is
like that,
maybe they should do a little bit of reflecting on that. That's just me. I'm willing to go so far as to say, you know, as Whitey.
I mean, maybe like Aunt Ethel saying, "Now come give me a kiss," is like the equivalent of saying, "You want to suck my shit?" To,
right?
You know,
yeah, you
somebody
know,
out there.
Sometimes there's a mistranslation where it, you know, you think it comes across some way where you think he's saying, "Hey, come fuck my ass," or something, and really he's saying,
"Right, right,
come read a
yes,
book."
Yeah,
you know.
Yes.
And maybe we're
and
involved.
It's. I mean, you know, maybe we should look within ourselves.
We should. And we should maybe I'll retract. I'll backpedal a little bit as a mayo ass white boy. I shouldn't be telling what like free Tibetans what they can and can't do in their spare time. You know?
Yeah. The Dalai Lama's tongue is just too spicy for us.
Yeah, I just can't handle like, you know, spicy, zesty cultures. You know, me, I'm an inbred, you know, southern man, so I don't understand, you know. It is kinda the Catholic Church thing and then what you were talking about, Noah, like the Protestant version of that I think is just like half of the men in the church, or maybe a quarter, being like
I did the one thing that gives you a firsthand insight into what the Protestant version of that is, which is I did Boy Scouts.
There it is.
I am an Eagle Scout, and Boy Scouts is the Protestant version of that.
The Lindsey Graham guys we were talking about, they were the ones that were like, my scout leader, we went camping. We camped over the weekend next to a water treatment. It was not a campsite. It was just a water treatment plant, an abandoned water treatment plant in South Houston. Just the ditch next to it, we just set up tents and camped for the weekend. We were right next to a feeder road, like just right by a highway. And he was like, okay, so the first night we're going to we're going to go learn how to navigate. So we're going to go out into this little wooded area. It was just tall grass. You could see. Like, you, there was no way, you know. And a little bit of time has to pass for this to make sense. Like, I didn't stick around for the Boy Eagle Scout thing. I didn't get all my badges. I thought it was, honestly, I thought it was gay as shit. I thought it was just stupid. I, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well.
And
yeah.
Later on in life, I found out that guy he was putting up fucking numbers. He was Kobe Bryant of being a real man of ill repute and those Boy Scout trips. And hindsight's always 20/20 in that stuff where you just, you know how when an asteroid gets real close to Earth, all the scientists start talking like, you know, oh my God, you know, it's 10,000
miles.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I had one of those experiences like every other weekend for like 6 months where...
Oh, my dad told me that his scoutmaster, he like learned years later, was a fucking was
prolific.
Was a pedophile.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, it's like it was never something I experienced firsthand, and admittedly, the few like annoying like conservative or Christian types in the troop I had as a kid were like they were more curiosities. Like it was actually kind of helpful to like have them there, because I was like, oh, so this is like what a Bible Belt asshole would be like. My limited exposure. Like, this is the kind of guy who buys the Confederate belt buckle on our camping trip to Harper's Ferry.
It's always not shocking, because I'm kind of used to it at this point, but when you meet a guy who will do the 2A spiel, like, they made it for us. We're a well-armed militia. They give you the whole spiel. They've got the big lifted truck. You know, they've got the three white, fat, sticky sons and all that shit. But again, I know that the gaydar is considered offensive, but come on. They'll do all that shit, and the whole time they're like, yeah, you know, when I got the F-150, it just wasn't big enough. So we went with the King Ranch, and you're like, dude, you could be happy. You could move to... you could move to Dumbo with all of your oil and gas money, that little neighborhood under the bridge, and you could suck and fuck Italian artists till the cows come home, brother. You don't got to live this lie no more. And that
I did meet once. I was actually a friend of mine who went to St. Ed's.
Oh, yeah, that's where I went. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was visiting his family has a house in Cape Cod. And we went and like we're talking to somebody, and he goes away, and I was like, oh yeah, like I think he works in an oil company. We looked it up, and he was like a very very senior executive at ConocoPhillips, and it was like, oh, like you can like do all like that's like the most Texas job I ever saw, and like you could just do that and like live in fucking Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Like who gives a fuck? Like you know, fucking like leave your family, quit the church. Move to fucking. I mean, doesn't Dallas have a gay neighborhood?
But Dallas is funny because the Dallas snobbery thing is true. So you get up there and it's a lot of like, well, I do declare type gay guy. You know what I mean? But like younger, I guess, and hipper. But it's still very much the kind of Dallas hoity-toity. You know, because the Houston gay like neighborhood, like Montrose, and it's like artsy, like a lot of gay neighborhoods. But I think the one in Dallas is a little bit more like, you know. Could be wrong. Thomas, you're well acquainted. You go there all the time. You tell me that you can't stop going there. Actually, it's become problems in your personal life.
I went to Dallas yesterday, and it was the first time in like close to a year, I think. I don't know.
Well, I'm at the gay neighborhood. Fort Worth and Dallas. You go there a lot.
Oh.
You say that it...
Yeah, I know which one you're talking
about.
Yeah,
it's called Thomas's place.
It's called the
Thomastown.
There's actually one called State Thomas, but it's not... I don't think it's a gay neighborhood. I mean, there's probably gay people there.
Gay.
I mean, there's probably the same amount of gay people there, whether I'm there or not. Honestly,
it was a.
If I had to guess,
I was telling Thomas, like growing up in like where I, you know, the town I was in, and like, you know, in and out of the church. My dad was not religious. My dad, you listen to the show, so you know who my dad is. But when I moved to Austin, I didn't know that there, I thought there was only one type of gay guy that was allowed to exist, and that was twink. That was the only loadout you could be. You know, a neon shirt and like 0% body fat.
What's the fucking bar in Austin? Was it Barbarella?
Barb's is not a gay bar, but they do twos gays. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's how. That's yeah. I've been. Yeah. Okay. There we go. That's why I think of
but,
it.
But when
bar.
I moved to Austin, they have like a whole scene out here, and all the bars are almost like, you know how when you go to Markarth and Skyrim, and it's like different types of NPCs, and you go to a different place. I was at the Iron Bear, and it was like a bunch of welders, guys that look like my dad, and I was like, these guys aren't gay. They have Carhartt jackets on, and they can bench press like 400 pounds, and they have accents and like mustaches and shit. And then I was like, oh, there's like a whole genre of gay guy that's like, I work on a boat, you know what I mean, like that to, yeah.
Well, yeah, and Austin is also like city of 1,000
yes,
fucking
it's
bars,
daycare
so like
for adult
every
alcohol.
One of them is gonna have their own bar. Like, here's the bar for the gay guys who look like welders, here's the bar for the gay guys who look like firefighters, here's the bar for gay guys who look like Lindsey Graham.
He's got such a sick ass life.
I mean, it is, like, I would love for him to, like, croak, you know, natural causes or whatever, and then just, like, you know, a 25-year-old emerges and is like, oh, yes, I was his boyfriend, you know, for, like, 10, like, I would love, that would, to me, be the, like, he accomplished his mission in life. And then got to
Thomas. You should do it.
Well, from, you know, we got to
from what I offer.
Yeah, actually, take one.
Yeah,
for
you
the
could
team,
lie.
Dude.
I've read some rumors about him that he has like an insane wart situation on his butt. Have you guys read about that? he has warts on his butt. And he calls them like his lady bugs.
Oh,
or whatever.
Oh my god! Is that real or did that come out as fake? Maybe
I didn't hear about it being fake, but it was from a gay escort I read.
Oh, okay.
It from. But then again, I mean, it
I hope it's
been,
real.
Like,
it's real.
It could have been.
You guys, do you guys know the Rick Perry?
Yes,
gay
I was just
story?
About to bring that shit up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Like the like he because there was like some gay guy who was in the Texas state like in the state legislature, and he like tracked down this rumor. It was that a guy on Craigslist, like, was, like, you know, told, like, where to go, like, go to this motel room, or this hotel room, close the door, keep the lights off, you know, get in bed, and, like, somebody will be in. And this guy comes in, they have gay sex, guy who, you know, came in leaves, and the guy in the bed, you know, sees, you know, from the light for the hallway, who is it that he just had gay sex with?
Awesome.
Rick Perry. And I love that. Like, I love like Rick Perry gay lore. I think it's like one of the great like subtle like political stories.
I like
of our
the
time.
Idea of Rick Perry finishing having sex and then realizing it's a gay guy as he finishes. Whoa! Hey, whoa! Now I didn't mean all that. Yeah, hey, I better get my boots scooting.
I mean, he really chanced it with those glasses.
He fucking one of my professors was like a. Like a capital frequenter, wheeler and dealer. I don't even remember what he did before he started teaching. I don't know if he was a lobbyist. He may have been. But at the end of the semester, he took us all out to dinner. And then a couple of us went out drinking after. Very not professional. And this guy was a very, very odd dude. But he got a couple shiners in him. And he would tell these stories. And I heard them more than one time from him and then from somebody else who worked at the Capitol. I heard years later after I graduated. That at these, like, really expensive galas, like these donor dinners or these, like, kind of redneck rich fancy parties that a lot of the Texas, like, old money elite go to, you know, somebody's ranch. That if the timing is right and the atmosphere is right, Rick Perry will have like two glasses of champagne, and this voice here, this one, abortion will never be legal in Texas, or the fucking tower at UT will turn maroon and white. That voice goes, and the motherfucker just starts floating around the room. Hey, I was just wondering, where were those little sandwiches? I love them. And he told my professor was like, ran into him at one of those and was like, hey, Rick, you know, nice to meet you, man. I know you work hard for the state. "Oh my goodness, who are you with? Are you with somebody at the?" And he said that he visibly like he was like, "Dude, I didn't know what to do, man." I was like, "Oh, I teach at a school around here, and bye." And then he said he was so uncomfortable because he wanted to so bad be like, "You do not talk like this. You do not talk like what is happening?" You know, but it
no, I mean it's definitely it's because most of the time that shit is overplayed with politicians, yeah. But there are a couple guys where it's like,
yeah,
all right, man, we just have to pretend, we just mm-hmm. have to act like this. Like I know some male cheerleaders, they're not gay guys, and it's just strong, they're just like sublimated cool, yeah, athletes, yeah, or whatever. But that's not you, Rick.
You're not
that's
a man. Not you.
That was actually mad funny. Do you remember when they had to publish his report card from college?
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, it was one of these lessons of like, oh, like, don't go to a public school if you're a politician. Because I guess somebody FOIA'd it or something. And he was like a really shitty student, which I thought was like,
yeah,
like, well,
yeah,
duh.
Well, there,
he wasn't. What did people expect? 4. Like fucking Goodwill.
Yeah. Well, Rick, it would appear you are once again top of the class for this semester. Your paper about how much you like peanut butter is maybe the greatest thing I've ever seen. Well, for my
now,
for,
Rick. For my, now, Rick, we've asked you to deliver a speech on your capstone project, which is about why it feels good to be warm.
Yeah, you, man, I mean, I brought a tear to my eye in that third chapter of your senior thesis where you said that going to bed is good for you. I just didn't know. I didn't know how else to do it.
Well, you know, you were going to finish us off with the third leg of this abortion debate, Mr. Perry, and we sure are glad you were here to talk about your grandma's pecan pie. So that'll be an A for you this semester. Thank you. You have a good summer. You're the only we made a summer school specially for you, Rick.
Yes,
you.
yes. We'll have your gold sticker in the mail. It'll be in the mail with your diploma.
Did you? I told Thomas, but you know about the name of his ranch, right? Yeah.
Yes, I know about it.
When I found.
Yeah, no.
Say it.
Well, it's tradition. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
Thomas
tradition.
Didn't know about it. I
like
tell
we're not
going. Like...
Oh, I am unfortunate. I mean, that's also one of those ones where, like, when you learn about it, you can't not like. It's a hard fucking thing to forget.
I told everybody. Like, I was going to house parties and like bars and restaurants and going to see friends for like a year after, dude. And it, you know that? Remember that old Onion article that was like, "Man at party can't wait to tell friend that John Lennon beats his wife" or whatever. Like,
yeah.
Dude, I get like 2 beers in me, and I was like, you know, the governor's got a ranch out in the middle of fuck off nowhere.
Oh, that's like I'm socialized past this stage, I think, but like that George Bush, what is it, like Neil like John Hink, who was it, like was it like H.W. Bush was going to meet with John Hinckley's brother the day that John Hinckley Jr. shot Reagan. Like I just, you know, like the brain breaking single, like Dorothy Hunt, Howard Hunt's wife, like bought like $100,000 life insurance policy before getting blown up in the plane.
All of the, one of the reasons I like your show a fuck ton is because I have conspiracy brain really, really fucking bad, like really bad. And you guys do a good job of like, you know, including tidbits that are like, for me, I go completely off the deep end. Like, I'm one of those, like, everything is the CIA guys all the time. That's just, you know. And, you know, 9/11. My dad showed me Loose Change when I was, like, 10. And I'm still a 9/11 for truth guy till the day I die. But anyway, I'm like, I still to this day, like, if I'm at somewhere and it really ruins the vibe and I'm drinking, I'll be like, hey, have you guys seen Who Took Johnny? Do you know about the Franklin scandal? You guys ever heard about that? And they're like, no, what's that? And then I tell them about it, and they're like, somebody will inevitably tell me like 2 weeks later, like, hey man, next time we want to watch the UFC fights, can you stop talking about like child pedophile rings, please?
The thing is though, is that like, look, man, like there is like another side to it, which is that like, it's, I do think a lot of it's in the delivery, because it's like a lot of the times, like I end up having that conversation with people, like They're fucking engrossed, dude. Yeah, and they get excited. Because especially, I mean, maybe it's, you know, like podcast voice or whatever, but it's just fucking like, because like the example, like I remember was I got invited out. I went out with a friend to a bar to meet some of his friends a few years ago. And it was like around like some development of the Epstein thing. And I like made a very positive first impression on this group of people by just very like simply explaining who Jeffrey Epstein was, why he was in the news. Like it was like, it was a fucking, it was like a social layup, you know, and one, you know, for getting like dapped on the wrist. Mm-hmm. Like it was awesome. So what I'm saying is that you should continue and you should actually ramp it up because the social dividends will come. If you build it, and by build it, I mean your psychosis, they will come.
Yeah, I like the idea of you encouraging Jake, and then he just becomes schizophrenic, and he's like, did you know that Xi Jinping rapes me and drinks my blood every night? And he's like, no, Noah told me it's fine. He told me it's fine.
One of my podcast buddies, he said me.
He's raping
me. My crazy voices in my head are actually good, and they make me smarter. They tell me that I...
Did you know Obama's a lady?
Well, the fucked up thing about this shit is, like, people who are, like, debunkers, I'm like, I have no evidence to back this up. I truly believe that all of the woo-woo crazy right-wing conspiracy, like, nonsense is some sort of op, because if you fuck the noise to signal ratio up and everything's a conspiracy, then nothing is, and then you're crazy, and everything that is true becomes a part of, you know, adrenochrome and all this crazy or whatever the fuck. But I have it bad in the sense where I'm like, you know, this completely normal evening we're having. Have you ever heard of North Fox Island? Do you know who was hanging out there around that time? Oh, also, the guy that built the bombs for the Tsarnaev brothers, he's just walking around.
That's one of my favorites. I talked to one of the journalists who covered that story originally. She and I don't have a ton in common, but like, I'm like fast. You know, I like we periodically talk about that case, and it's in part. It's just like that fact, like that. Like she has this like crazy thick Boston accent. She's like you know, he's just walking around. Yeah. You know, like it's or like it's. I mean, it's like Boston. The Boston-Jersey accent convergence needs to be studied. Needless to say, I was, like, floored by it. I do think, though, actually, it was funny. We were texting like, before I came on the show, and you brought up Casolaro. And I did the Chapo with the guys who did that octopus documentary. And I think it was great. And one of the reasons I like it is because I think something that it does that, like, I think also I've learned through doing blowback, or at least an attitude I've come to have about it, that stuff, is that, like, you know, like, conspiracies are real. Like, the idea that there are, like, you know, hidden forces of the elite, like, at work to manipulate events to outcomes favorable to them. Like, it's just true, whether it's in the assassinations, political blackmail, like, whatever. Like, that stuff happens. However, like, you will go crazy and be, like, a dum-dum if you don't find a way to, like, integrate that stuff into, like, a system of thought that like actually can explain like, well, how does the world work?
Yeah.
Because like it is, you know, like it's like, I don't believe that it's just like irrational and unknowable and just like a pile of calamities. Like, I think we can figure some stuff out. And it's like, you know, like that documentary did such a good job of laying out like these conspiracies as conspiracies in different ways, but also as like, you know, like fucking just like one dimension of like the story of like this major change in the country. Like, and, you know, the documentary didn't even try to do that, but it sort of points out like you got the savings and loan scandal. You BCCI. Have the fucking like transformation of Indian casino gambling. You have literally this like bizarre case with Inslaw. You have the Iran-Iraq war in Israel. And, you know, so it's like you can tell a kind of story about just like history, period. And these things are all part of that. They're not the whole thing. And they're certainly often like, you know, given short shrift in the conventional telling, but like they're just part of the story. They're not like a secret, separate knowledge that's actually like, you know, once you get all of like the 150 conspiracy Pokemon, you will understand everything, you know, like you will achieve like paranoia nirvana. And like that is, you know, sort of like what the internet, I think, like can kind of incentivize, or like social media can kind of incentivize, but like, in general, I really do want people to like get conspiracy headed and believe all that stuff, just insofar as it's like it becomes something interesting for them to consider in relation to, like, you know, the rest of the fucking world, and not just like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the same dumb posts I have about people who are just like, well, you know, I'm not sending my child to preschool because I know what happened to McMartin. And it's like, shut the fuck, like you, it, the fact that you have kids makes me want to call the cops on you. Like, like, I would never do that to anybody except for you, person I just invented for the purpose of this, like, conversation.
Yeah. I don't know. I, like, part of me, I had, like, a, one of the funnier ones with my fiance was, like, I was watching the Oliver Stone, like, JFK, you know, documentary that came out a while back. And I love that whole thing because I'm thoroughly convinced. And I again, they made a point in the Castellero documentary that's like, once you start thinking like this, it's very hard to stop. And you kind of have to keep yourself in check to kind of like, you know, whatever. Your view of the world changes. But anyway, I was watching the documentary in bed and she's like, oh, is this about like the JFK thing? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, I think I've heard a little bit about that. Like, I might want to watch it. I was like, oh, you should. And then I started to go into it, but I was like really tired. I was like, I'm going to pass out. She's like, you mind if I start it over and watch it? And my fiance is like, she's interested in this stuff, but not to the level that I am. Like, it drives me nuts sometimes. Anyway, I wake up at like 4 a.m. and she's just like watching the end credits. And she goes, she turns to me. I'm like half asleep. She's like, they killed that motherfucker, dude. and I was like,
oh, yeah.
And she was like, I see. I kind of get why you're, you know, because I'll be in bed reading like old, like the, when the CIA was pretending to be fucking like vampire, like Anwar, you know? And she's like, what is this? And I was like, oh, they do all sorts of goofy shit. It's fun. They have carte blanche, blank check to just be the most evil, like crazy puppeteers of the world, you know, whatever. Anyway, I don't want to go on a rabbit hole about that shit.
No, but it is fun to like when people who like are normal can be presented with something that like tells a story about this stuff or tries to explain it or contextualize it. And it's not just like totally off-putting. It's like, oh, wait, no. I'm not just like totally crazy for being seduced by this. And I'm not just like, you know, like I'm not like a conspiracy freak or whatever. I'm just like somebody who is, you know, I mean, it's like, to me, that's part of at least one of the things I think Brendan and I try to do is like, if you position it as part of like a good story and you tell like, you know, are able to present like a bigger picture, then like, yeah, people have like a pretty big appetite for fucking weird stuff, whether it's like germ warfare or killing JFK.
Yeah. I think also you guys have a lot more in-depth knowledge than like a lot of the basic conspiracy shit I see, like that comes across on like YouTube and TikTok and stuff. Like, I see, I think a lot of people younger than me, like people who are in high school and early college now are just now like finding out about stuff like Operation Paperclip, stuff like where I'm like to me, at least I have a very entry level knowledge of conspiracy stuff. I never like, I'm bad about if I look at conspiracy stuff for more than like 30 minutes, I like start having a breakdown, I feel like. So, like, I know about, like, Paperclip and some basic stuff like that, but not like you guys. But I see people being like, go on the Wikipedia for Operation Paperclip. And I'm like, there is so much, there are so many more things you can know about. I think guys like you guys who can explain that stuff and have a knack for storytelling, I think that's definitely, like, not that everybody needs to be making a living off of, you know, the suffering of the world and all that, but you know what I mean? Like, good storytelling in that department that's not by actual schizophrenic people. Sometimes the schizophrenic people are better.
I will say it was kind of funny recently seeing like at least two people I've like picked fights with on Twitter in the last like 2 months, like close up their conspiracy theory Twitter podcasts or whatever. And it's like, all right, I win.
I was younger, when we were talking about 9/11, I was bringing this up, but I forgot. But now we're back on the subject of this shit. When I was a kid, my dad showed me, like, dude, right after it happened, and like I was going over to my dad's like every other weekend. It like engrossed my dad because my dad was not a political guy. He never went to college. I think he like took him like 5 years to finish high school. He was not like what you'd consider like a smart guy. He was also like a really pretty sick dude and, like, you know, druggy or whatever. And but he was engrossed by this shit. And he was also engrossed in with some of the more cartoonish ones, like Skull and Bones and the Priscillian Club and all of the finals clubs at the, you know, he thought that, you know, but
yeah,
he
yeah.
was really, 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 really convinced. And, like, you know,
I mean, I think it's like, you know, to your point, though, it's like it offers a pretty compelling way to explain the world if you're working
yes.
on limited information.
And he was telling me, he was like, he gave me the whole rundown or whatever and was like, all right, Black Eagle Trust Fund, Larry Silverstein. Okay. And then what happened is Seven was supposed to go down, but didn't quite happen how they wanted it to happen. So they had charges. There was a construction company that came in 2 weeks prior to do the windows. And they set the charges or whatever. He gives me the whole rundown. Dude, I go to, like, third grade the next day because I feel like when you're a kid, even though my dad was kind of a dipshit, you think your dad is, like, God. So, and I and the way that he described it to me, I was like, oh, everyone either knows about this already, and if they don't, they must know. So I'm going, and, like, I raise my hand, and we're doing, I forget what we were talking about, like, the Civil War or something. I don't even fucking remember, like, elementary school history.
Dude, bring a building
yes.
seven.
And I raised my hand, and I was like, hey, and this is only, like, 6 or 7 months gone from 9/11. I think I was in, like, third grade. It was the second when it happened, and then I think I, like, third grade, I remember this happening. I was like, oh, so you raised my hand, and I was like, so, Civil War, like, when it kicked off, like, kind of like how 9/11, like, they got into 9/11 so they could start a war with the Middle East. And my teacher was like, what? And, like, I didn't articulate it that clearly. I was a kid, but I remember something along the lines,
yeah,
like, oh, yeah. We want to go to war.
Yeah, we did 9/11 so yeah. we could do war for Jewish
yes.
oil and blood.
yeah. Literally, like, oh, so what basically...
For the Rothschild.
The continuity of governance means that Dick Cheney, he goes into a bunker and he weaves Donald Rumsfeld there to die. And Rumsfeld was very confused, you know. And I had to go to the print.
In a few years, there's going to be a show called The Week. And there's the guy who started the show, you should look into his dad. It's pretty
Nick
cool,
Kuo's
actually.
Dad.
Nick Kuo, yeah. And he's going to make a show about little girls fingering themselves and stuff. It's going to be cool. It's going
to
be like a comedy thing.
He needs to go
cool.
to jail. I don't know if any of you guys ever... I don't know. he needs to go to jail. Like, anyway. Yeah, I had to go to the principal's office. And the principal, I remember, was like... One of those times where it's like an adult's trying not to laugh, but they have to be mad at you. And I was like, well, my daddy told me that George Bush's daddy, he's like, what was it, the CBI, and he say that they're the ones that basically they work with the Taliban to do the towers. And the principal was like, can we get Mr. Rhodes on the phone? we got to call up. Anyway, man, we've been cruising this motherfucker for a long ass time.
This is the longest episode we've ever done. But Noah, thank you so much for coming on.
This is a lot of fun. No, I had a good ass time.
You guys need to listen to Blowback if you haven't. It's season four, right?
Yeah, and then season five comes out in August. It'll be about five. Like Cambodia and into China.
I'm so
stay tuned. We're gonna have more information.
Where can they listen
soon.
To you guys?
Anywhere you get your podcasts, all the episodes are available now. If you want to listen to bonus episodes, you can get a subscription, and you can sign up for it at blowback.show. The website is blowback.show.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks again, man. This was super fun. Till next time, brother.
Yeah, this rocked.
Thank you guys for listening, by the way. Peace.